I see the river flowing swift. I see the sky. I see the trees. I see the birds. And I see the grass and the flowers and the reeds and the stones at the bottom of the water. And every bird, especially, are flying through the air and chirping. And crows are cawing, and the world all around is full of the sounds of the native world.
Take chances! Make mistakes! Get messy!
Welcome to Radio Free School.
Listening to Radio Free School's first birthday.
I'm a homeschooler and my age is 6. My name Evelina. And to tell the truth, I don't like the idea of school. When people say, "Why aren't you in school?" to me, I get very angry. Furious
school today, dear little boy of mine. What did you learn in school today, dear little boy of mine? I learned that Washington never told a lie. I learned that soldiers seldom die. I learned that everybody's free, and that's what the teacher said to me. And that's what I learned in school today. That's what I learned in school. What did you learn in school today, dear little boy of mine? What did you learn in school today, dear little boy of mine? I learned that policemen are my friends. I learned that justice never ends. I learned that murderers die for the crimes, even if we make a mistake sometimes. And that's what I learned in school today. That's what I learned in school. What did you learn in school today, dear little boy of mine? What did you learn in school today, dear little boy of mine? I learned our government must be strong. It's always right and never wrong. Our leaders are the finest men, and we elect them again and again. And that's what I learned in school today. That's what I learned in school. What did you learn in school today, dear little boy of mine? What did you learn in school today, dear little boy of mine? I learned that war is not so bad. I learned about the great ones we have had. We fought in Germany and in France, and someday I might get my chance. And that's what I learned in school today. That's what I learned in school.
This thing all things devours. Birds, beasts, trees, flowers. Gnaws iron, bites steel, grinds hard stones to meal. Slays king, ruins town, and beats high mountain down. Poor Bilbo. He sat in the dark thinking of all the horrible names, of all the giants and ogres he had ever heard told of in tales, but not one of them had done all these things. Had a feeling that the answer was quite different, and that he ought to know it, but he could not think of it. He began to get frightened, and that's bad for thinking. Gollum began to get out of his boat. He flapped into the water and paddled to the bank. Bilbo could see his eyes coming towards him. His tongue seemed to stick in his mouth. He wanted to shout out, "Give me more time, give me time," but all that came out with a sudden squeal was, "Time! Time!" Bilbo was saved by pure luck. That, of course, was the answer. Gollum was disappointed once more. And now he was getting angry and also tired of the game. It had made him very hungry indeed. This time he did not go back to the boat. He sat down in the dark by Bilbo. That made the hobbit most dreadfully uncomfortable and scattered his wits. "It's got to ask us a question, my precious. Yes, yes, yes. Just one more question to guess. Yes, yes," said Gollum. But Bilbo simply could not think of any question with that nasty, wet, cold thing sitting next to him and pawing him and poking him. He scratched himself, he pinched himself. Still he could not think of anything. "Ask us, ask us," said Gollum. Bilbo pinched himself and slapped himself. He gripped on his little sword, he even felt in his pocket with his other hand. There he found a ring he had picked up in the passage and forgotten about. "What have I got in my pocket?" he said aloud. He was talking to himself. But Gollum thought it was a riddle, and he was frightfully upset. "Not fair, not fair," he hissed. "It isn't fair, my precious. Is it? Not fair, is it? To ask us what it's got in his nasty little pockets is?" Bilbo, seeing what had happened and having nothing better to ask, stuck to his question. "What have I got in my pocket?" he said louder. "S-s-s-s-s-s," hissed Gollum. "He must give us three guesses, is he, my precious? Three guesses, is?" "Very well, guess away," said Bilbo. "Hatties," said Gollum. "Wrong," said Bilbo. But luckily he'd just taken his hand out again. "Guess again." Said Gollum, more upset than ever. He thought of all the things he kept in his own pockets. Fish bowls, goblin's teeth, wet shells, a bit of bat wing, sharp stone to sharpen his fangs on, and other nasty things. Try to think what other people kept in their pockets. "Knife," he said at last. "Wrong," said Bilbo, who had lost his some time ago. "Last guess." Now Gollum was in a much worse state than when Bilbo had asked him the egg question. He hissed and spluttered and rocked himself backwards and forward and slapped his feet on the floor and wriggled and squirmed, but still he did not dare to waste his last guess. "Come on," said Bilbo, "I'm waiting." He tried to sound bold and cheerful, but he did not feel at all sure how the game was going to end, whether Gollum guessed right or not. "Time's up," he said. "String or nothing," shrieked Gollum, which was not quite fair, working in two guesses at once. "Both wrong," cried Bilbo, very much relieved. He jumped at once to his feet, put his back to the nearest wall, and held out his little sword. He knew, of course, that the riddle game was sacred and of immense antiquity, and even wicked creatures were afraid to cheat when they played at it. But he felt he could not trust this slimy thing to keep any promise at a pinch. Any excuse would do for him to slide out of it. And after all, that last question had not been a genuine riddle according to the ancient laws.
You are listening to the best of Radio Free School. Stinky. Poo-poo comes out of your bum. Straight out of your bum and plops a big splash in the toilet.
Sitting Pretty, it's a history of the toilet from almost prehistory, certainly 4,000 BC, right up to the modern day and the where we're going with toilets. So it's a look at not just the sort of technology of it, but the meaning of toilets in our society.
Hi, my name's Budman. We gave you the chance to water the plants. We didn't mean that way. Now they water the plants.
Great. Now the waiter's gone to... Look, what is the matter with you? You look... Are you sick or something?
No.
You're not sick, and you spend a meal break in the washroom, leaving me sitting here for 3/4 of an hour getting refills of water and chewing on breadsticks.
I shit a piece of pie.
Look, if your people aren't interested in developing the land, you can just... Excuse me?
I shit a piece of pie.
Thank you! Thank you for sharing that with me! I am delighted that yesterday's dessert has finally passed.
But I never eat pie. I just dumped a solid piece.
Thank you! Thank you! I was hoping you'd be a fascinating luncheon companion. But little did I dream you'd be regaling me with the consistency of your bowel movements.
It was a piece of pie.
I don't care what it looked like.
No, it didn't just look like pie. It was a serving of pie.
It was a serving of pie.
Right.
Real pie.
A nice serving of real pie.
Flaky crust, juicy filling.
Big round blueberries.
Thank you.
It's a miracle.
It's a miracle? God blessed your sphincter so it could issue dessert treats. Look, you still got 15 minutes. Go make it a la mode.
But I can't even bake a pie.
So God put an easy bake oven in your lower colon?
When I was a kid, I found a robin's egg and hid it on the timber of an old abandoned shop, which was sitting in a field full of raspberry bushes, the crabapple tree around the back, and a stream going by at the bottom of a hill, the rock in the middle, and if you sat still, you could see the minnow swimming from an overhanging limb. You could listen to the heat bug drill.
And early every day, all my friends and I would play, digging holes and finding gold among the rocks, and looking for salamanders and eating all the berries and rolling down the hill in a box. Until one day they came with their machinery and dozed down the shack and hacked up the greenery and stuffed the stream in a concrete pipe and leveled the hill away. And then they built a couple of mounds to make it look round and brought in loads of sod and planted a row of trees that came up to our knees. Without a speck of shade, it looked so odd. And there were no more dragonflies and no crayfishing, and They called it a parquet after a politician and put up a sign saying no ball playing, and nobody ever went there anymore.
You are listening to the best of Radio Free School.
One girl timidly said,
"In my house we have some rope to make a swing, Wolf."
Everybody became very enthusiastic, and suddenly they all had suggestions. "I want to bring some nails," insisted one grandmother. Carlitos, Chio, and Camila all started jumping up and down.
It's really going to happen!
All the neighbors began to build the playground. They brought cement and bricks and buckets and sheets of aluminum and sandbags and old tires and wooden boards of every size. They nailed and hammered and dug holes and planted and sanded. They all worked in their spare time. On the wire fence, the children put up a sign they made themselves.
San Jose Playground. Everybody come and play.
The end.
I think I was about 12 or 14. My father worked on the railways, so we used to go on a lot of train trips. And to pass the time and alleviate the boredom, he bought me a book called I Spy on the Train, and it was and you would get points for everything you saw that was in the book. After I finished I Spy on the Train, he got me one called I Spy Birds, and I was hooked. I had to see, you know, every bird that you saw, you check off, and, you know, the more common birds, you got 10 points, and the really rare birds, you got 30 points, you know. And I was hooked, and I used to go out for hours. I think when I was 16 one day, I was out for 10 and a half hours because I wanted to see 100 birds. So it's kind of like an obsession.
I want to be a ballerina. I'd like to perform on stage in toe shoes and, or not always toe shoes, but at least sometimes.
Well, Swan Lake is about Prince who has to get married, and he meets this girl who's mostly swan, sometimes human. She's really called Odette, but she's changed into swan by an evil magician. And that's the basic part of the story. The evil magician doesn't want her to marry. If she marries, then she'll never be a swan again. And so he brings his own daughter. And makes her look exactly like Odette, and he promises to marry her, and then he swears to marry her, and then she changes back into her true form, and that is really scary. They jump into Swan Lake, well, Odette and him, because he finds out. And they jump into Swan Lake, and they die together and be together forever. Everyone gets the same to them. Yes, it is a tragedy.
So you've seen the dance as well, right?
Yes, and it's not. It was a movie though.
Mm-hmm. And what did you think of it?
Pretty cool, but it seems like a comedy. It doesn't seem like a tragedy when you watch the movie because there's no words. Why does the sun go down?
Why does the sun never stop burning? How is the earth made? Why does the earth move?
Thank you.
flat and planet, and off where we live in off. Mars is red, of some yellow stuff in it, some dots in it, some yellow dots in it. It's like when you step on the holes and you sink down. Mars can have flowers on it sometimes, and flowers grow in gardens too. And then you have a beautiful garden. Venus is not so scary. Venus. Well, Venus has flowers on it too sometimes. And they grow. Flowers grow. My favorite planet is Venus.
Why?
Because I just like it. But my first favorite planet is Pluto. And Pluto is very cold.
I'm going to talk about Jupiter. I know that Jupiter is a gas giant. It is the hugest planet, but not the hugest thing in our universe. You know why I like Jupiter so much? Because that's my birth sign. My birth sign is Sagittarius, and it's ruled by the planet Jupiter. Well, it means king of the Roman gods. That's the name of the king of the Roman gods. Jupiter, the rings of Jupiter look solid, but the rings on which are around all the gas giants are made of nothing more than ice cubes and rock in tiny pieces, sometimes a tiny bit of rock occasionally. Well, Pluto is so, so cold, and it's very small. It's colder than anything in the whole universe. It seems like it's the coldest planet in our solar system that we know of, in our solar system that we know of so far. But there's probably other planets beyond it, because it can't really pull back such a gas giant. It wouldn't be able to. It's tough. It's so tiny. It probably wouldn't be able to pull back a huge gas giant like Neptune. It's one of the gas giants. Neptune's one of the gas giants as well. There probably is big, huge planets bigger than Jupiter beyond, well, beyond Neptune. Bigger than Jupiter even. And Jupiter's the biggest planet, but the sun's the hugest thing in our solar system that we know of yet. And there's something even bigger than our whole sun in the solar system. But really, there probably is, because when the sun started to burn, then it created all these. The far reaches were made gas giants much bigger than, like, only these rock pieces, huge rock bigger than the sun that it left from the birth of the solar system. Just left over from the birth of the solar system. They're round as well, I think, but they don't go around the sun. But that's probably what's pulling back now. And the sun is not the biggest star in our universe, though it is a star. It's a star, but it's not the biggest star. It's one of the smallest, but it's a medium star. There's ones that are way smaller than it, but it's a medium. It's a medium-sized star. There's stars way huger than it. The universe probably is cold. The universe beyond Pluto is probably really cold because our sun's light isn't touching it because it's too far. And starlight is probably not touching it as well. The end of the is not touching Pluto, I don't think. So, well, really, I should be talking about the sun. Again, well, like, the sun is very, very hot, and it's so huge.
It's big enough to hold more than 10 million Earths. Oops, it's not that big. That's how big it is, but it's not as big as other stars. Some stars might be able to fit 1,000,000,000,000 Earths in it. And they'd all have to be huge gas giants to fill it up, probably, because that's how big other stars can be compared to our sun. I'll be able to look into a real telescope if it's not a cloudy night like it was last time when we tried last time. We thought it was going to be a nice sunny day, that's what they said on the computer, but it turned out to be a rainy day and a rainy night, so we didn't get to see any stars, but we got to talk about
what do you do? How do you ride a bike? How do you ride a two-wheeler?
You don't look at the ground, and you have to look where you're going. You pedal where you want to pedal, and make sure you don't fall down.
Okay, and your name, please?
Evelina Kay, and I am 7 years old.
And can you describe your experience today?
Well, I was a little jealous of Madeline being able to go around and perfectly, and I was kept falling when I was doing that. But everyone has a different talent, and I have a talent for climbing fences.
I see children that don't put their value in someone else's hands, which is a very destructive thing to do. I think when you're homeschooled and you have that sense of who you are and that the value of your own person is within your power, and you don't give that away.
Yes.
The end.
I'm gonna wrap myself in paper. I'm gonna daub myself with glue. Stick some stamps on the top of my head. I'm gonna mail myself to you.
Contact Radio Free School at grassroots@hwcn.org or mail P.O. Box 19, 1280 Main Street West, Hamilton, Ontario, Canada, L8S1CO.